The winners of this year's Eureka Prizes have just been announced, awarding researchers in the fields such as innovation, leadership, science, engagement, and school science. This year's winners are made up of a range of exciting, ingenious, and in some cases, bizarre research projects. The winner of this year's prize for excellence in interdisciplinary scientific research went to a South Australian initiative, the Aboriginal Heritage Project. The director of the Australian Centre for Ancient DNA, Professor Alan Cooper, joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations. It sounds like a fascinating project. Tell us more about it.
It's basically using ancient samples of hair that were collected in a series of expeditions run across Australia from the University of Adelaide from about 1930 through 1960, when they set out to record as much information as they could about Aboriginal groups right the way across Australia. And in so doing, they collected small locks of hair at the same time, if people were willing to give them. And we're using those hair samples now to extract DNA. And from that, we can actually reconstruct how all the different communities and families were related to each other and even recover signs of how Aboriginal people moved around Australia when they first arrived.
Fantastic. And this project provides a great insight into the migration patterns and history of Indigenous Australians. So tell us more about what you discovered.
Well, we find that Australian first people in Australia seem to turn up about 50,000 years ago. I'm not entirely sure about this new claim of 65 that came out not too long ago. I think they're wrong on that. But anyway, a long time ago, effectively speaking, shortly after that arrival, the two groups of people move around, respectively, the west coast and the east coast, so clockwise and anti-clockwise, if you like, coming in from, we think, from just around Timor. And they move very quickly. They seem to, within 2,000 years, have spread right the way around Australia. And they appear to meet, actually, going in opposite directions, somewhere around South Australia. We think maybe the Eyre Peninsula type area, which is interesting because you can imagine that conversation was kind of strange when you bump into someone up to 2,000 years of seeing nobody. And then, of course, the French and English did it almost exactly the same thing 2,000 years later in Encounter Bay, not far from the same point. But then the bizarre thing is once they've moved very quickly around the country, Aboriginal populations seem to stay exactly where they were thereafter for 50,000 years. That's longer than pretty much anyone else in the world, apart from maybe the Khoi and the San Bushmen in Africa. A testimony to an ability to live in one spot without destroying it ecologically, which, again, is highly unusual in the rest of the world. People nearly always trash the place and have to move on or adapt new technologies. In this case, the Aboriginal populations managed to stay completely in balance. I mean, the altered environment, but they were able to stay put for 50,000 years, which is a pretty incredible amount of time.
Wow. And you also worked with Aboriginal families and communities to retrace these lineages. Tell us about their input.
Yeah, well, because the hair samples were taken way back in the 30s through 60s, there was no informed consent given for genetic work because at the time that didn't exist. So as a result, we have to go back to those communities and find the descendants of the people that originally donated the hair samples and ask for their permission to do this analysis and also to ask the communities what they were interested in finding out about in terms of genetics. And what was found is that the community are incredibly positive about the project. I think we've asked something like 150 families to be involved, and I think only one family has declined, which is a very encouraging response. And they're very involved in the analysis. We like to get an Aboriginal perspective on the results. We go out and we do a consultation with the community initially to talk about the project and talk about which individuals are represented with hair samples. And then once we have permissions and gain the results, we then go back to the communities to present them and discuss their interpretation of the results before anything is published or made public. And it's been a great way of encouraging and engaging with the communities who are very positive about Aboriginal history, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it's pretty crazy. It's incredible, isn't it, how you can find out so much from hair. Tell us, how is it that we are able to extrapolate all this information just from DNA samples?
Yeah, well, we wouldn't be able to do this project today because people using shampoo or soap regularly leave very little DNA on their hair. So, for example, in crime scenes, hair is actually not all that much use unless you get the root of the hair preserved. But back in the 50s through 60s, the hair samples, people weren't using shampoo across Australia or washing the hair with soap regularly. So there's quite a lot of DNA on the outside of the hair from handling it, from running your hands through the hair or whatever. And as a result, we can get the genetic sequences back. We're in fact now sequencing whole genomes from these individuals, from just a small lock, you know, a couple of centimetres of hair, which I didn't think was going to be possible.
Wow.
Even a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
No way.
That's amazing.
So, and then from the genetic records, we can work out who's closest related to who and trace families and communities and their connections back through time. Right the way back to 50,000 years, which is so surprising. I mean, anywhere else in the world, because of all the wars and invasions and famines, people have moved and mixed, and the genetic signals are all a bit of a mess. In Australia, they're all very, very clear indeed. They're very discrete, and that is only because of the long-term presence of populations in one particular area. So the genetic markers are indicating exactly where they've been for that very long period of time.
Wow, and it really must help to support the notion that Indigenous Australians are much better at looking after the earth than many other populations.
Yeah, and I think the big advantage there is that they didn't use agriculture or heavy agriculture as we did in the rest of the world. And as a result, the birth rate is kept under control. Living much more in balance with the environment. It's agriculture and the enormous birth rate that goes with it that causes the huge population pressures and wars and famines and the like in the rest of the world that forces people to migrate when the food or crops fail. It is absolutely necessary for populations to move, whereas in Australia, you don't see that. Even though there's been some major phases of climate change in Australia, but somehow or other, Aboriginal populations have survived that pretty much on country.
Very resilient. And so what is the next step in your research?
Well, the project really is only in its second year, and we think it's going to be another 10 to 15 years, at least 10 years, I would say, as we move around Australia, talking to more and more communities, building up an increasingly detailed picture. Really, we've only scratched the surface at the moment, and that's enough to see the broad-scale patterns. But as we get more communities and more families involved, we'll increase the resolution and the detail and the complexity of the stories enormously. And I think we have 6,000 samples of the hair are held at the South Australian Museum in the sacred rooms. And clearly we're not going to be able to find living descendants for all of them, but I'm hoping that we can get maybe 2,000 to 3,000 of those hair samples into the project, and that would be an amazing map of Australia, given that we know almost nothing about Australian history at the moment.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time, and congratulations again on winning that award.
Thank you. Cheers.
He's the director of the Australian Centre for Ancient DNA, Professor Alan Cooper from the University of Adelaide, and he was talking about his research project, which used historic hair samples to reconstruct a map of Indigenous Australia prior to colonisation, and that was the winner of this year's Prize for Excellence in Disciplinary Scientific Research at this year's Eureka Prizes.